Live from the Richard Harris Law Firm Studios and streaming at lvsportsnetwork.com.
In transition, here's Watt. Watt, stick check, drops it off. Hannafin scores!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your source for exclusive interviews, access with the team, breaking news, and in-depth analysis.
Pearson centered, they score! Brett Howden, a hero again!
Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard hanging out inside T-Mobile Arena. Chris Chapman is back inside the Richard Harris Law Firm studios. Richard Harris Law Firm, where they've won billions for their clients with their less fee guarantee. Must win. Game five.
Must win.
Right around the corner. How we doing, boys?
What do we got going on? Okay, right off the bat. Chapman, pay attention. Wallace, get in here.
Okay.
Listeners, this is on you as well. I want to know one sentence, one point. It can't be rambling or this has to happen plus this and then you support there. I need one statement. This has to happen for the Vegas Golden Knights to have success tonight. What is that one thing? If you want, I'll go first, lead you guys off. But I'm a little leery because I might take your thing and then you'll go.
You took my stuff.
I'll go first.
All right. What is that one thing that has to happen for the Golden Knights to win tonight and extend the season?
Jack Eichel has to score a goal.
All right. I am going to go with you have to be on the front foot. Don't respond, or if you have to, be good at that area.
Mm-hmm.
Be on the front foot. Pressure them. Make them think. Make them react. Front foot. Chapman.
Get to Stuart Skinner and get to Stuart Skinner early.
All right. There's three things. All have ranges to them. Like, how do you get to Stuart Skinner? How are you on the front foot? Jack Eichel scoring is the most specific. But let's hear from you on the text line, 702-876-1340. What's one thing that you think has to happen for the Vegas Golden Knights to win this game? If you are on the offensive, and I'll just expand on my angle, turn their D around.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the greatest contingent of defensemen in the National Hockey League. You haven't made them react to pressure enough in the course of this series. You haven't had to make them come up with split-second decisions often enough. You haven't made them think about getting hit and trying not to succumb to the bumps and bruises that come with that. Get on that blue line.
Well, I think that it bears repeating in that when the Golden Knights have done that, when the forecheck pressure has been there, when they have been able to get to the defense of the Edmonton Oilers and force them into those quicker plays, those quicker decisions, that's when Vegas has been able to, you know, really get a lot of quality zone time. Like, you saw it in game two, back half of that game, certainly the beginning of overtime, and throughout the majority of game three, where I thought the Golden Knights were better in that regard. So as long as the Golden Knights can apply that pressure consistently, the Edmonton Oilers D will feed you mistakes. It will happen.
And the buildup of that, momentum may not go from game to game, but pressure on the D does add up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you start thinking about that. And I'll go to something that Darren Pang told me earlier this week. The Winnipeg Jets took a game and a half to adjust to playing the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
Because they were so used to getting pounded whenever they had the puck. As soon as they got rid of it, they got hit. And when they played the Dallas Stars, they would pass it and then they brace for impact.
Yeah.
And the impact didn't always come.
Yeah.
It was probably half of what they were used to against the St. Louis Blues. Get on those guys, because Evan Bouchard is susceptible to making poor decisions in his own zone when he's under pressure. Darnell Nurse follows suit with that. Jake Walman has made mistakes. These are all good defensemen in their own right.
Yep.
But if they had one common area of weakness, it would be reacting to pressure. Now, Jack scoring.
Well,
that's,
I
that that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious and it's needed.
I think it's imperative for the Vegas Golden Knights because Jack Eichel, we know he is their best offensive player. We know what Jack Eichel can do when he is feeling it, when he has got that moxie in his game. He can do some amazing things. And even though it hasn't been a series where Connor McDavid has gone off, Connor McDavid has put the puck in the back of the net in this series. He has scored a goal. I think for Jack to get on the score sheet, to get a goal in this game, it would go a long way because then I think other pieces of the offense can kind of fall into place in a lot of ways. If it's a power play goal, even better, because I do think the power play for the Golden Knights, special teams for the Golden Knights can be really important in this game as well. But I just think that Jack Eichel putting the puck behind Stuart Skinner is going to be imperative in this one.
With that crossbar shot the other night.
Yeah. It was right there.
Do you see how high that thing went?
Yeah.
Coming off the bar?
Yeah.
Like people were ducking in the upper deck.
So checking in on the text line, you know, I like this one from Kenneth. He said score on the power play. I think that's important.
Okay.
John says
score on the power play.
John says, you know, and it'll hit you over the head with the subtlety, but score more goals than Edmonton.
Okay. Yep. That's a smart-ass remark.
Wynn says, I have to second what Chapman's statement was, so get to Stuart Skinner and get to Skinner early.
That was Wynn?
Yep.
I thought that was the comment.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. We only got, like, one of those.
Okay, get to Stuart Skinner.
Terry, depth, scoring, and energy.
Terry, I'll take depth scoring because mm-hmm. you only allowed one.
Yep. Matthew agrees with you. Like has been said, stay on the front foot with pressure through more physicality and big hits.
Chapman, what do you mean by getting to Stuart Skinner?
Well, get in his head, score some goals early, and kind of rattle him a little bit.
Make him uncomfortable.
Yes, because he was not uncomfortable in game four.
Yeah, there was a good chance by Barbashev early. Tried to go five hole. Little surprised at that because Riley Smith had such great success coming from that same spot with the Deke. And Barbashev, his money spot is high a blocker.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether he missed a shot or whether he was trying to, like, you know, oh, he thinks I'm going here, so I'll go here kind of thing. That never works for me.
But they had
a good chance there. I the way he beat Stuart Skinner is moving,
mm-hmm.
is getting the move. But getting to Stuart Skinner, whether you're scoring, like there's two ways to get to him. You can bump him, you can be around him, like Edmonton did to Aiden Hill the other night. Now, they took penalties,
yep.
So that's the danger there. Or you can just bombard him with shots. And if you score one, it's greedy, but if you score one, like Chapman said, you got to add another one. You got to get this place going like theirs was the other night. And Vegas handled a really hostile environment for a visiting team. It's amazing what they do for a crowd up there. It is beautiful in a sports environment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking away anything that they're doing, but it makes it tough on the opposition. But you need some success to make that happen. And Vegas doing something that ends up on the scoreboard early and adding one or two more would get inside Stuart Skinner's mask.
And that's something the Golden Knights have been able to do at various times throughout the regular season. And even in the play, like they have been able to turn one goal into two, into three. I mean, you know, the greatest example in this series specifically was what the Golden Knights were able to do in game number three. Now, they were trailing at the time. They were down 2-0, but they scored two goals in 54 seconds. That is exactly what Chapman is talking about, in that you want to get one, and you want to get right back on the offensive. You want to get right back into a scenario where you are testing Stuart Skinner, and it doesn't mean a ton of volume of shots, but you are testing him with really difficult chances and difficult plays, and you want to turn one into two, into three, and if you can do it early, that will put a little bit of doubt in the head of the Edmonton Oilers.
Chapman, you may have the best one.
Well, I mean, I don't
just take your flowers.
Yeah, I think he's a big key for Edmonton. I mean, there's a reason why he started the series on the bench.
So make him question himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because there's still a vulnerability there. He's got one win in four starts in these playoffs. Now, get on the front foot and be on the offensive goes with that. Jack Eichel having success goes with that. Scoring more goals mm-hmm. goes with that. The power play having success certainly helps out there. It'd be great to have Pavel Dorofeev mm-hmm. get going because we know where there's one, there's usually multiples.
Sure, 100%.
With Pav. That's another area. Power play to success to Pav, to Tomas Hertl, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you got that line going.
Yeah, you know, there was a comment here on the text line that says score, power play, goal. And, you know, for the Golden Knights, early on in the series, they were coming through with the man advantage. They were putting the puck in the back of the net. I think if you're looking at power play goals specifically, you're looking at Dorofeev or you're looking at Hertl, right? Because Hertl getting one to fall for him, who he's been around it, especially if you're able to kind of make that play into the bumper for Hertl and you get a goal that way, I think that allows Tomas Hertl to exhale a little bit. And then if you get that line moving in the right direction and you also get Jack Eichel scoring, then all of a sudden you start to feel a little bit of momentum there.
The power play is the hub of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the power play scores, there's a really good chance that Jack's involved in it, Hurdle's involved in it,
mm-hmm.
or Dorofeev's involved in it.
Sure.
So then you can carry that to multiple lines.
What I think is really interesting is how much, and maybe this is recency bias because the Golden Knights were shut out in game number four, but everything is centering around offense, right? Like
absolutely.
All of this
That's
is...
That's not a fluke.
It's not, because for four games, the Golden Knights have been pretty good defensively against the Edmonton Oilers. They've been pretty good at giving themselves a chance to win. Now it's about finding enough goals to get another victory in this series.
You're right. They've done a pretty good job. They can still tighten up defensively. But they've scored zero goals last game, scored four the game before, four and two. Mm-hmm. So they've been held below four a couple of times.
10 goals in four games.
Compare that to Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And we think because the big boys haven't produced in droves that it's been a more successful series. But if you expand your horizon, you still got to do way better across the board. Allowed 4-5-3-3. Now, you're trending in the right direction, but they could use exactly what happened in Edmonton.
It would be nice.
They could really use one of those games. Is there a 3-0 win against the Edmonton Oilers? They did a 1-0 here
mm-hmm.
in this building
yep.
earlier this year. But I think the road to a comeback and winning in seven games, as crazy as it sounds, is through offensive success in this series rather than just stopping Draisaitl, McDavid and company.
I agree with you because, again, all of our entire collective mind went to offensive aspects of the game where the Golden Knights need to find a little bit more. Checking in on the text line, Al says more shots on goal in all three periods.
Yeah.
Dom says shoot the puck at a higher volume and get traffic around the net.
What was that? What was it said shots on goal?
That's Al.
Okay.
We got Michael saying throw everything at the net.
I don't like that. Michael, I'm going to disagree with you on that because the players are too skilled. They like making plays. You need to make plays, whether it's Pickard or Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
In goal tonight, it's Stuart Skinner. Get him moving laterally. They're too talented. So I understand your thinking. I do. But I think it's slightly more complicated than that.
Yeah, there's a couple more. One from Michael that's along the same lines, right? It's just getting more volume of shots. Don't think so much about making the perfect play. But again, to your point, and I think it's worth repeating here, It's a Golden Knights team that likes to make plays, and you have to make plays in order to score goals. Otherwise, you're just feeding goaltenders confidence.
Except there is a positive to it. If you've got the puck and you're peppering Stuart Skinner with shots from everywhere, and sometimes it does work. Nikolaj Ehlers scored a goal last night by just getting the puck to the net that completely surprised Jake Oettinger.
The only one that beat him.
Goaltenders are now becoming comfortable with players being in shooting positions and not shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And at times you can take them or catch them off guard. But if you're peppering Stuart Skinner in this case tonight, the benefit or the positive of that is you've got the puck a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not defending as much, and you're developing some touches and some positive energy that way. So it wouldn't all be bad. I don't think that that's necessarily I know it's not a philosophy that Bruce Cassidy
sure
adheres to.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, again, you want to make it harder on Stuart Skinner. And yes, if you're throwing pucks to the net, in theory, you're forcing Skinner into making more saves. But if there's no movement, if there's no traffic, and if you're not able to get him to move and have him a little bit unsettled, then nine times out of ten, he's going to make the save. And then at that point, you're just feeding into Stuart Skinner finding his groove again, gaining his confidence. He's coming off of a shutout.
Yeah, I don't think it was a shutout, though. Like, with all due respect, I don't think he was he was a difference.
I'm not saying he was a difference, but I am saying that he's coming off of a shutout. And for a guy that hadn't won to that point in the postseason, you're going to cling to whatever you need to cling to in order to feel good about where your game is at.
Klingberg.
Okay. Well done.
Thank you.
That was good.
He's been better. I wonder if there's a drop-off in his play at any point. And I'll be honest, I'm searching. I'm searching. Mm-hmm. I'm digging through the sand, trying to find where Vegas can really dial in. The players and the coaching staff have done extensive work with video and gone over some tactical tweaks. I don't think they're going to change a ton, but there are a couple of things where they've realized that they can be either better or offer a slightly different look. I'm looking at it more from 30,000 feet. Where can there be more obvious, easily controlled approaches? And that's why getting in there, and if Evan Bouchard goes back to retrieve a puck and you're on him and he has to beat the first guy and then turn around and he's under pressure because his outlets are covered, there's a chance that there's a mistake there. So, or Darnell Nurse gets rattled in front of the net, ends up taking a penalty because there's pressure. That's where I think that's a controllable element or more controllable element to a very unpredictable game.
I mean, we're going into game five, and there really hasn't been one of those moments for Evan Bouchard where you look at him on the defensive end and you say, okay, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's been solid. He's been fine. And
there was those moments against LA.
Yeah, for sure. And that's going to be, you know, an important one is if you can get through, you don't want Evan Bouchard and the Edmonton Oilers to get through an entire series without having at least one of those moments from Bouchard. We always talk about him. We know what he does offensively. We know what he can do in terms of putting the puck in the back of the net and helping the Oilers' offense, their offense. But you know, all of the time, it comes with the caveat of, well, Evan Bouchard can give the opposition offensive chances too, and that really hasn't happened yet in this series.
Looking for a spark, looking for something to happen. Jack Eichel, he was on a 6-game point streak that was snapped in game four. So the points have been there.
Yeah.
But just one goal
right
out of the 10 points that he has. He would feel better in that regard. Barbashev would feel better. Like there's 20 goal scorers all over the place here.
Mm-hmm.
And the best production that we're seeing out of this series, Mark Stone has a couple of goals. Riley Smith has a couple of goals. Need more from the top end guys. to be able to break through. And if they start feeling good, like Edmonton won the other night on defensive performance, but I would be more worried if the big boys had gone off for Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a 7-2 game kind of thing.
Yeah.
3-0, manageable. It was navigable for Vegas to get back into it. It didn't happen. The second and third period didn't feature enough. Certainly shots and high danger chances. They weren't getting inside the dots. You need to see that a little bit more. And is it a game where, at the risk of doing too much or trying to do too much, if it's available, if Jack has a break or Dorofiev has a one-on-one situation, you try and beat those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved what Bruce Cassidy said a couple of days ago. If there is that position where you're against a defenseman, why not go wide? Because if you don't have success in getting a chance, there's a good possibility the puck's already deep, so you've accomplished that goal. Now, if it's a two-on-two rush, and that's a little different story. But if you got a guy coming down the wall and it's only you two on that half the rink, go. And you might be, in a normal situation, a little more hesitant to try to do that because you're waiting for support to join you on the rush. But a Jack Eichel or Dorofiev or the guys, William Karlsson, those guys with that kind of jump and speed, go for it.
Well, I think you're encouraging your best playmakers to go out there and make plays. And when you're in a must-win situation, when there is no tomorrow if you do not win the game, I think you have to empower your best offensive players to go out there and try to make a difference.
But I don't want to see that every shift of them set on an outlet pass to Ivan Barbashev, and he just goes down the ice off a rush and tries to beat his defenseman. That's not what I'm talking about. You still have to play your way in the team game. But I'm encouraged by the fact that there appears to be a little bit more of a green light than we might normally see through the course of a season.
And I think that's a sliding scale as the game goes, right? Like, obviously, you're not trying to be careless in the first period. You are looking to start the game on the right foot. You're looking to start on time and hopefully score some goals early. But as you get deeper and deeper into the game, and depending on what is going on and what the score is, that green light will shine a little bit brighter if the Golden Knights need more offense.
Remember, series against Minnesota, it was game 4, game 5, game 6 that the Eichel line cranked it up.
Sure was.
So maybe it's just a little bit later in the series, because if it's successful, we're going an extra game.
Yep.
There's still time, but you're now the clock's really ticking here.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's still an opportunity for Jack, because we've seen it, 2 years ago, we saw it with Jonathan Marchessault, who got hot in the middle of the series and then went on an epic run. So it's there. We know that the skill and the strategy and everything is in place. Just a matter of it happening. And it's not fair. This is an 18-skater, two-goaltender game that the pressure is on the big boys. It's not fair. It should be spread out, but that's not the reality. You need your 20-goal guys to play like 20-goal guys.
Mm-hmm.
If they have to ham and egg it, and one guy does it in game 5, another guy does it in game 6, and a couple of guys step up in game 7, that's fine. Not everybody has to go out tonight, but it's on the producer's plate tonight. That the depth can't be expected to pull them all the way out of this deficit.
Yeah, completely agree. And you're right, it isn't fair. But it is that point in the series where you look to your best players to deliver and carry you through.
Sneaking up on game time, Oilers Golden Knights Game 5 of this Stanley Cup second round series at T-Mobile Arena. We'll get more on the VGK angle with Danny Webster, who joins us next from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, as we have an elimination game for the first time facing the Vegas Golden Knights in this 2025 postseason. We're back with more after this.
Hockey. Webster's Dictionary defines hockey as a game played on an ice rink by two teams of six players on skates whose object is to drive a puck into the opponent's goal with a hockey stick. It's time to talk to Webster. Danny Webster, that is.
Game 5 of the second round series in the Stanley Cup playoffs between Edmonton and Vegas. The Oilers win. The series is over. They go back to the Western Conference Final. The Golden Knights win. It forces a Game 6 back in Edmonton. Here is the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Danny Webster. You get a vibe at all about tonight?
I have no idea. And this might be the first time this series where I really don't have a vibe. I don't know which way it leans. You could make the argument that the Oilers probably crack the code in Game 4 and they find a way to close it out. You can make the argument that the Golden Knights will put their best game that we've seen in this series and extend it for at least another game going back to Edmonton. You could really make the case for either or, and I really have no idea which way I'm leaning right now.
When you think of kind of this series to this point now going into Game number 5, where have the Oilers impressed you?
5-on-5, and it's not even close. The fact that they have dominated at 5-on-5 has probably been the biggest surprise for me. They've outscored the Golden Knights 13-7. They've lost the special teams battle, and they made up for it at 5-on-5. And really, that's what the Golden Knights did 2 years ago.
Yeah,
they lost the special teams battle. They dominated 5-on-5. Complete opposite this time. The Golden Knights have controlled the power play. They've dominated in the penalty kill, I think 8-for-9 now in the series. But the Oilers have done their damage at 5-on-5. Their depth has risen to the occasion, where the Golden Knights are still trying to find some answers in the bottom two lines. And they've gotten production from almost everywhere in the lineup. I think 9 different goal scorers now at 5-on-5 in this series, where the Golden Knights, I believe, have 6. So that is the difference in this series right now. And it's the difference why the Golden Knights are one loss away from, unfortunately, heading for an early summer.
I want to get your take on how we started this show by offering our opinion and asking for listener contributions to the one area, one sentence that Vegas has to accomplish or do better at in order to win tonight. And there's been everything from being on the front foot more to getting and chasing Stuart Skinner around, not just one goal, but 2 goals, a lot of different things. Jack Eichel in the power play. What is there a specific area that you think Vegas needs to do better to win this game?
I think they do need to get off to a quick start. I think that you need to get the crowd going. You need to get them engaged, because I can only imagine, based on my flight back here yesterday, which was about 95% Oilers fans, I'm going to take a slight guess that it's going to be back to the orange and blue in the stands. And if that is the case, I know obviously the numbers will dictate that it's going to be a heavy Golden Knights crowd, but at the same time, you're going to need to get the crowd going. You're going to need to get them engaged when it doesn't seem like they have the answers right away. And I think if you're going to do that, you've got to get on the board in the first 10 minutes, I think, and you've got to be able to control Edmonton. You've got to And I think that is how they're going to have their best chance to win this game. And that's where I think it starts, the first 10 minutes.
So let me ask you this question when it comes to the Golden Knights power play. You touched on 5-on-5 play in this series, but the Golden Knights have won the special teams battle. However, you go back to Game 4, 3 power play opportunities in the first period. They only muster 2 shots on the man advantage. How do the Golden Knights get back to what made them successful with the power play, and how do they find a power play goal in this game?
Yeah, the one area that Bruce Cassidy touched on the other day is I think they've been taking away, meaning the Oilers, they've been taking away those weak side plays that I think worked to their advantage in the first 2 games. And I mean, you look at Game 2, and the two goals scored by Victor Olofsson, I think, were a perfect example of getting those backdoor opportunities. The Oilers have done a really good job sealing that up. And you look, I think it was two shots in the power play in game three and or game four. And you combine that with a five-shot total in the first period in game four, and it was just it could not have come at an inopportune time for the Golden Knights. So I think they're going to have to try and find a way to get those backdoor plays going. They're going to have to try and find a way to get Stuart Skinner off balance. They're going to have to try and find a way to establish more traffic. And I'm not talking about just net front traffic. I'm talking about just putting pucks on net and getting the Oilers to scramble with their four skaters and Stuart Skinner on there. If they're able to do that, they should be able to cash in on some of these. But that's been the biggest thing right now, is they have not been able to generate enough puck traffic onto the net, especially in the last couple of games.
We'll bring you Bruce Cassidy's media availability from earlier today. That'll come up just after 5 o'clock on the VGK Insider Show. But part of that conversation with Bruce and those of us who are in attendance today included an admission that Bruce said, we're desperate, and we have to feel desperate, almost saying embrace that. You can't do it when the puck's in your stick, but you better use it as some kind of motivation. And I appreciated that honesty.
Yeah, and they really have to. I mean, you look at how Game 4 unfolded, and I don't think they expected the Oilers to dominate on the forecheck the way that they did. I don't think they expected them to be as physical, even with the little line tweaks that they made. But the biggest takeaway for me coming out of the locker room in Game 4 was there was a lack of urgency. And that was the words that Jack Eichel and Riley Smith used, was that it was a lack of urgency. And if you're having a lack of urgency down 2-1 in a series where you need to win in order to take this back and make it a best of three, that's where I guess the desperation is going to have to kick in. And you know, unfortunately or fortunately, the Golden Knights now need to tap into that in order to keep their season alive and take it back to Edmonton. So I would like to think that the messaging is loud and clear from Bruce Cassidy, that the desperation needs to be there. The urgency needs to be there from the jump. And that's why I said earlier, they got to get off to a quick start and show that that urgency is right on par with where they want to be at.
It's unfair that you put all of this on star players at time, but when your back is against the wall, when you need to win a game to keep your season alive, you're looking at the Jack Eichels of the world. You're looking at, you know, the 20 goal scorers, the many 20 goal scorers the Golden Knights had throughout the regular season. Tomáš Hertl put up 30 goals in the regular season as well. You're looking for those guys to carry you through. Which guy is it tonight for the Golden Knights that does that?
It's got to be Jack Eichel. For me, when it comes to Jack, is it's definitely not due to a lack of trying. Six shots on goal at 5-on-5 series, and that is not nowhere near enough. I feel like he's passed on some opportunities where he could shoot the puck, at least put some traffic on the net. And again, we know Jack's game. He's always a distributor first. He's always trying to get his teammates involved, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I think in this situation, when you have Connor McDavid, who's been relatively quiet for the most part, when you have Leon Draisaitl, who you've kind of forced to play more of a 200-foot game and focus on the checking and focus on, you have the opportunity, if you're the Golden Knights, to have your superstars step up in big situations and make big plays. And I feel like through four games, Jack Eichel has played very, very well on both ends of the ice. But I think where the Golden Knights lack is ensuring where are those goals coming from. And you know Jack is capable with that shot, with that release. And I don't think he's put enough pucks onto the net at this point in this series to give him that opportunity to open things up. So if I'm looking for one person that needs to put the team on his back tonight and carry the load offensively, as tough as it's going to be, but the Oilers have split up McDavid and Draisaitl, it's got to be Jack Eichel.
Got a couple of texts regarding the status of Mark Stone, who didn't skate this morning. What was Bruce Cassidy's assessment of the availability of his captain?
Yeah, it sounded like he was part of the maintenance day situation going on with Brady McNabb, Alex Petrangelo. Sounds like Brandon Saad might not go tonight. He might be all hands on deck. But with Mark, that's such an interesting situation just because he doesn't play the rest of game three, plays game four, doesn't really look like himself. And, you know, that's just a credit right now to how banged up the Golden Knights are on the back end, up front. And, you know, the timing couldn't be worse. And for me, I would not be shocked in the least, and I don't think anybody in the building would be shocked tonight if Mark Stone ends up playing tonight because that's who he is. But it also wouldn't surprise me if they feel like they need to at least give him a game, if they feel like they've got enough in power to win a game tonight and extend it by one more and get him back for game six. But
Is there an official status there?
I don't think so.
No.
It doesn't sound like it.
I didn't know whether it was game time decision or whether it's not likely or
yeah.
Likely.
If I had to guess, Darren, I'd call it a game time decision. That would be how I'd label it.
I'm going to ask you this question, understanding that Stuart Skinner's coming off of a shutout. Though I wouldn't make the argument that he was super impactful in that regard in game number four. Aiden Hill, to me, coming off of his best game of the series. I know there was a lot of traffic in front. He dealt with a lot of stuff in his crease, but I thought he was up and equal to the challenge and played really well in game four. Is this, you know, a game where you're looking at Aiden Hill and you're kind of wanting, I don't want to say expecting, but wanting him to steal you one?
I think you're going to have to, especially if you're trying to figure out where the offense is coming from. And you're absolutely right, Ryan. I thought he played his best game of the series in game four. I thought he made some big saves. It wasn't his fault. But, I mean, the only one you could probably put on him was probably that third goal. But even then, it looked like it went off Brady McNabb's skate and probably took a funky hop. So I'm not going to put that on him either. But none of those goals, I think, are his fault. So, I mean, it's hard to do that when we've been talking a lot this postseason about puck management. Plays below the goal line, trying to break pucks out, and that's, you know, been a constant theme over the last little bit. This might need to be a game where you need Aiden Hill to kind of steal one. And I know I might have said that to you on pregame for game four, but in this situation, yeah, you're probably going to need Aiden to make, you know, those 10 bell saves to at least keep you in the game, to give your skaters a chance to find their footing, especially if they're unable to get the forecheck going like they did in game four. It might need to come down to that tonight. Absolutely.
All right. Do we get overtime tonight, or do you think it's a definitive, decisive win? Because,
you know,
going into a game like this, I think partly
putting it right out there,
Vegas comes out and they just take back the series. You can't take it all back, but you establish yourself with your best game of the series, or Edmonton continues with what they have momentum in winning three of the first four. There's part of me that thinks that it's lopsided one way or the other.
Yeah, I think it's, to me, it's going to go one of two ways. I think it goes overtime or the Golden Knights handle the game the way they should. I just think that with your backs against the wall, you technically have home ice. And you've already shown that you can win in that building. If you get one tonight, you at least have a little bit of confidence. It'll be a daunting task, but at least you have the confidence knowing you can go back into that building, try and steal one more, and bring it home for Sunday. And if you're able to do that, then you're in good shape. I just don't see it going lopsided in the Oilers' favor. I think if they're going to win this game, it's going to be like a 4-3 game. Either that, or I think the Golden Knights handle business, and we're back in Edmonton on Friday.
Enjoy the game, pal. Appreciate it.
Will do, guys. Talk to you later.
There's Danny Webster from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Covers the Golden Knights day-to-day. Read him in the RJ. There's a lot happening the Vegas Golden Knights. And Danny Webster was up in Edmonton. He got to experience that environment. I find it difficult to believe that Vegas would lose three straight at home in the series.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like that's something that they can do. I don't feel like it's a scenario that we can see play out, because the Golden Knights have been so good in this building all year long. So, yeah, maybe that's the omen.
See if they get some divine intervention as well. We'll continue with that theme. Plus,
We've got the Legal Minute. Ashley Watkins standing by. There's an NHL story that we'll get into as we continue on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It's time for the Legal Minute. Brought to you by Sam and Ash Injury Law.
Here's Ashley Watkins, SamandAshLaw.com. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash. From your legal perspective, how are you feeling about tonight's game?
I don't have any fingernails left. I am nervous, guys. I am nervous. What about you?
I feel confident that they will not lose three games in a row at home. And I really believe in my heart of hearts, this isn't just spinning stuff. I think this thing goes the distance.
I feel confident that we will play overtime tonight.
That's it? You're going overtime?
Yeah.
That's all you'll give us?
That's not helping Ashley's confidence
All I'm saying is, you know, in a must-win game, overtime. It's going
to
happen.
Ashley's got no fingernails left. She'll be down to her knuckles here soon. There's a story in the National Hockey League that occurred this week, and I have to just clarify or admit Doug Cifu from the Florida Panthers, he's a governor, alternate governor, minority owner. A buddy of mine has had interactions with Doug McLean, who I used to work with, and they've had feuds online. Mm. They've had text exchanges. I've got a background on Doug Cifu and some of the involvement that he gets into, so I'm sort of more aware of his online behavior, Doug Cifu's online behavior, than most before this week. But he did a back and forth with the Toronto Maple Leaf fan because the Florida Panthers involved in this series against the Maple Leafs, and things devolved into statements about Israel and Hamas and Canada becoming the 51st state. It got ugly, and Cifu does have that ability to lose his temper or emotions, and he's been suspended by the National Hockey League. He's going to have to meet with Gary Bettman. What kind of punishment can an alternate governor, minority owner face for something that was so public, Ashley?
Yeah, look, I mean, first, my advice to everyone is do not try to win the internet. Going to lose. It's not a place where you logic and reason win. It's a place to kind of play around, and it's a sandbox, and really you can only end up in tears and crying or pain. So, look, this is just an example of being on Twitter, thinking you can win, or letting it get too personal. And so I think Doug Cifu, I haven't seen the exact tweets, so I don't know how offensive they might have gotten. But depending on that, that'll obviously play into the extent and the severity of the suspension or the punishment altogether. But look, even though he's not a player or a coach, he is part of the organization, and he's subjected to the organization and the NHL's code of conduct regarding social media behavior, which is commonplace in almost every employment contract anymore. Your handbook will have social media rules.
So along those lines, because it does pertain to pretty much everybody that's got a job and is on social media, like, where does the line between free speech and employers' rights and their codes of conduct fall, or where do you make that divide when it comes to social media?
Yeah, great question. One, don't use company property to do it. Don't use your work computer. Don't use your work cell phone. Don't use your work's Wi-Fi to post whatever you want to post, regardless of how benign it is. Then as far as free speech goes, really protected speech is pretty limited when it comes to your at-will employment status. The only thing that's really protected are posts related to unionizing or workplace conditions or any whistleblower type statements. Those are the only real protected speech areas with respect to your at-will employment. So and also you've got to be careful. Your employer has the right to protect its reputation. So if its employees are out making posts that in any way harm the company's reputation or is a bad brand image, expect that employer to have issues with it.
I've never heard that don't use the company Wi-Fi while you're doing it, but it makes sense because you're using their property, their gateway.
Absolutely. Company time, company property, company Wi-Fi, all of it. You got to be very careful when you're using your social media or your devices for personal use.
The other thing is, and I did this when Twitter first came about, you put on your profile, opinions are my own. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I still see that out there, but that doesn't even protect you, right?
That, you know, that really doesn't protect you. What that's doing is trying to help your employer when they look. You go, look, ESPN or whoever, Fox, I work for you. And whenever people go to my page, they see this isn't an endorsed statement by the media company. It's my personal statement. So it doesn't do much to save your employment status, but it helps in the argument's sake.
So the moral of the story is don't try to win the internet.
Do not try to win the internet. You won't. There's always someone who has more time, more energy, more screws loose than you. Like, just have fun with it. Enjoy it. Use it for news, updates, fun opinions, jokes. But be careful. Know the risks you're playing with when it comes to your employment status.
And the person that Sifu got involved in on this Twitter feud, they weren't in the clear either. They were just as wrong, but they didn't work for a National Hockey League team. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
there's no repercussions there.
That is the downside of technology right now and social media and everyone having their own camera, is you don't have the liberty to act however you want or speak however you want off hours. Your employer, how many times do we talk about cases of fights in arenas or stadiums and then one of the participants gets terminated from their job because it was a bad look for the employer to have that person on staff? I mean, it happens all the time. So be smart out there.
If you are in any type of situation, though, give Sam and Ash a call. If they can't help you, they'll make sure that you're taken care of. They'll point you in the right direction. Asha, enjoy tonight as much as you can.
I will. Look, I love the Golden Knights. I love everything we're doing with this organization. And despite my nails, I'm confident. I'm confident that we will win and we're going to take this to a game 7.
We'll talk to you next week about the third round then. I'm booking it right now.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in. I'm nervous. I'm in.
Yeah, let's go.
I love it.
Thanks, Ash. Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
There's Ashley Watkins from SamAndAshLaw.com. Give them a call. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash. Hour number 2 is up next.
If you're injured in a crash, call Sam and Ash at 702-303-0333. Because nobody is ever satisfied with just one.
Left from McNabb, bottom of the circle. From the corner, he saucered in front. Stone scores! Flips it in out of midair on a centering pass by McNabb.
We're back with another helping of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
5 seconds to go. Faber, another shot blocked on the outside. 2-1 goes across the slot, and the game is over. Vegas survives and marches on to the second round.
Streaming at lvsportsnetwork.com and live from the Richard Harris Law Firm Studios, it's Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Let's get into it. Game day. First time the Vegas Golden Knights face elimination in the 2025 Stanley Cup playoffs, down 3-1 against the Edmonton Oilers, but at home in a rink that they absolutely dominate and love to play in, and enjoyed so much success. And they had the confidence of that going for them in a very close series against the Edmonton Oilers. So there's the pluses, and then there's the reality. It's a must-win situation for the Vegas Golden Knights in a game that will take place just prior to 7 o'clock down here at T-Mobile Arena. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl have been kept in check. There's been a long list of things that Vegas has done well. Just got to find a way to get the result over the finish line and then focus on Game 6.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter how the Golden Knights get it done. It only matters that they get it done. It only matters that when this game ends, whether it's in 60 minutes or 80 minutes or however long it goes, the Golden Knights are the team that wins and they're able to live on to fight another day.
I found an interesting stat today. 4 times in the Golden Knights' history, they've been shut out in a series, at some point in a series.
Okay, yep.
So that goes on the heels of what happened in Game 4. Vegas has won 3 of those series. Hmm. So being blanked in a game,
sure,
during the course of a 7-game set hasn't really meant bad things. They've won 75% of those series.
Well, you, tack
I thought that was a strange, polar opposite. How does one thing lead to the other thing?
Well, I think it speaks to the wild swings in momentum you see over the course of a playoff series, right? If I'm remembering correctly, two of those shutouts happened in the series against Minnesota. It was Cam Talbot twice.
Minnesota, yeah, twice. And Vancouver and San Jose. Mm-hmm. They were all shut out against those teams in a series, and they ended up winning. The only one to lose was back in 2020 in the bubble against the Dallas Stars. So just because they were blank the other night, Vegas has shown a propensity to be able to answer back.
It's what this team has been able to do really well over the course of their history. And, you know, again, I think, yes, it's a 3-1 series lead for the Edmonton Oilers, but it is a closer series than 3-1 would indicate.
Bruce Cassidy spoke today. There's a couple of things in here that I want to react to on the other side. Just pick up on and expand. But Bruce Cassidy addressing Mark Stone not being on the ice this morning, and then we will follow in through the rest of his media availability.
Maintenance days for the guys that weren't out there?
Yeah, they'll all be decisions made tonight.
Did anything surprise you when looking back at their changes on the forward group? Did anything like stand out that maybe surprised you that you weren't expecting?
Well, you don't know what you're going to get from Kapanen. We haven't seen him. He was physical. We know he has speed off the wing, got a chance that way. I believe he had played with 92 and Draisaitl in the past when we played them earlier, so not surprised they were aligned because they had some. Who else? That was the only addition, right? They added a right D. Stetcher's played a lot with Nurse, so it didn't surprise me there. They've been in and out. So I wouldn't say the line surprised me. They dropped Kane down from one. McDavid's played with Hyman and Nugent Hopkins for 4 years, whatever the time Hyman's been there, I think, on and off. So Perry's the one, I guess. He'd been effective. Was probably as much in the power play, but when you have depth, you can do that.
The buzzword today was desperation. Guys in the room were talking about you have to feel that before you even touch the ice today. So I'm curious, what does that look like? How did the conversations change today, if at all, knowing what is at stake?
Well, we had a meeting this morning. We talked about some things that we need to do. And it's not about tactical, like below the goal line. We need to be quicker recovering to the slot, forecheck. We've got to get second touch. And this is more about urgency, stuff we've done in the past that's, I won't say change a series, but can impact a series. We have people in the room that are capable of that. Like Edmonton did a good job with that in the first period the other night. Another thing we talked about is Edmonton. It's a little bit of what the Pacific Division is. And no disrespect to the others, but we feel we're the two kings of the division. We're going to have to go through each other if you want to get where you want to go. So there's a little bit of that conversation that this is probably not a one-off. You know, we feel we'll be, whatever the team looks like, we'll be right back there next year. They probably feel the same way. So this isn't one game, and of course you're staying in the moment, but this is something that, you know, they had to go through us. We had to go through them 2 years ago. We would have had to go through them last year if we had a one game seven in Dallas. So there's nothing new here. So this has got to be something you embrace if you expect to be the last team standing, because it's probably going to happen, I would guess. I'm not a mind reader, you know what I mean? I'm guessing down the road, this is not going to be the last time these two teams are going to meet to try to get where they want to go, would be my guess. So, you know, it's on. So show up and put your best foot forward and see what happens.
You've mentioned in the past that there's a line between desperation and urgency, but given what's at stake tonight, how does that change tonight?
Well, the lines move to desperation because we're done if we don't win. It's that simple. So what does desperation look like? Well, it's usually, you know, you're working as hard as you can to keep the puck out of your net. That's what you see. When you have the puck on your stick, you can't be desperate, right? You got to be relaxed. You got to make your plays. You got to be hard on it to win it, but maybe a little more desperate in front of their net if there's a rebound. Maybe it's not one whack. It's 2, 3, 4 whacks. You know, it's just going the extra mile. That's all. And I think it's easy to say, well, you should be doing that every night. And there's probably an argument made for that, but this is a little more magnified.
Bruce, you mentioned yesterday the need maybe for a better start first 10 minutes. Are the things you'll look at tonight that would tell you you guys are on the right road towards doing that?
Yeah, usually it's are we rolling four lines? Are we playing in their end? Are they getting it out and changing? We've had good starts. I went all through it yesterday, our expected goals and all those things. That they're not lopsided at any one period. A little bit in the overtime, but I think the five-minute major probably tilted that. Otherwise, they've just capitalized early, and that's where we got to be better early on with our putting out fires if we do lose a puck battle. So that's where the start has to be better, first few minutes, making sure we're on our toes, alert. So it'll be in and out of our end, closing off plays for them, choking off their offensive zone time, getting through the neutral zone clean, and getting to our game in the other end. If those things are happening, it'll probably look good for us.
They brought a couple guys in, and maybe it did seem to kind of bring their energy up. Kapanen was one that very physical. If you do have to use another player, is it possible that one of the guys that goes in could bring the energy of the team up?
Well, I mean, that's a little bit of what you'd hope for. They've been waiting their term, chomping at the, you're hoping they want to be the guy in there. He obviously looked like he did. Probably felt slighted he was out for another player. And sometimes that's a situation. Other times a guy knows that there's other guys ahead of him. It's his turn to go in and make sure he kind of holds the fort down in his role. So you got to be careful there, right? Depending on the position, what they're capable of, are they that player? But yes, you'd hope they'd bring some level of excitement, and pull the line along or whatever for short periods of time. Again, Kapanen, I'll use them as an example. He's been around. He's been a guy that's been there. If we're using a first-year guy, it's first playoff game, that's a tough ask. If we're using a veteran guy, then it's a different story.
Bruce Cassidy is morning media availability, discussing a few different things, including this is not a series matchup that we're not going to see again in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The second time in the last 3 years that the Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights have met for the right to go to the Western Conference Final. And Bruce is bullish on the fact that it's going to happen in the near future. So as much as, and I don't know whether he meant it this way, but I kind of interpreted it in this fashion, it's game five. Mm-hmm. Whether you win the series or not, extend it. Make a push and make it, when we look back in 2 years, like we said, Vegas won in six by winning game five and six in 2023. You want to make it so even if you're not victorious, you look back and go, it was a seven-game series in 25 or something of that ilk. You want to win the series. Mm-hmm. That goes without saying, but make as much of a statement as you can during the course of the series.
Well, I mean, just think back to last year against Dallas, right? Like a lot of the information, a lot of the talking points coming out of that series was how much it took out of the Dallas Stars to eliminate the Vegas Golden Knights. You want a similar type of scenario here if you're Vegas. If you don't come back and win this series, you want to take a piece out of the Edmonton Oilers, because it's not just an investment in the now, but it's an investment in the future. When these two teams inevitably meet again in the playoffs, and it'll happen, you don't want anybody walking into that series thinking it's going to be easy.
The other part is Dorofeev, they like to get him going, but they're not putting on him. Like, this is being pulled along by his line mates a little bit. And I take that as Tomas Hertl and whoever's playing on the other side. You get one guy going, it's going to help Dorofeev going. And Hertl, being the veteran guy, sort of needs to lead that charge a little bit, or is being asked to lead that charge.
Well, as I think he should be, right? I mean, you've got Tomas Hertl. He's a veteran in this league. He's been around a lot. He's scored a lot of really big, important goals, especially in the playoffs. And when the Golden Knights were going really well at the end of the year, a lot of it was because of the work Tomas Hertl and Pavel Dorofeev were able to put together on a line with Brandon Saad. Saad is game-time decision tonight, so not sure what his availability is going to be, but you do want to see Hertl as the guy that is driving his line, and if he can drive and produce and bring Dorofeev along for the ride, then again, you've got more scoring options available to you playing with confidence.
Said they met this morning. It wasn't about tactical. It was more emotion and playing with urgency. The line has moved to desperation. That was Chapman that talked about that question, where the line is between urgency, desperation. It's moved to desperation because they're facing a elimination game. And the part about you work as hard as you can to keep the puck out of your net. But when it turns north and you're going the other way, you have to become yourself. And you can't handle the puck if you're desperate.
That's one of my favorite answers from Bruce Cassidy all season long, because it encapsulates the dichotomy of what it means to be a hockey player. There is desperation that's always in your game. Obviously, tonight it's going to be at a different level for the Golden Knights, but the desperation comes on the defensive side of the puck. The desperation comes with your second and third opportunities or your second and third chances to kill plays and doing everything in your power to keep the puck out of your own net. But you have to have the poise, and you have to be confident and comfortable making plays, and you can't do that in a state of desperation. You have to try as best you can to just focus on executing and leave the desperation for when you're in your own end.
I checked, and Mark Stone is listed as game-time decision. I want to acknowledge there is a report by ESPN that Mark Stone will not play tonight. I don't have that from anybody within the organization. It stands officially listed as game-time decision, so we'll follow that. And pre-game warm-up, all eyes will be on to see where the captain is in that line coming out on the ice if he's able to go tonight. Let's get into our one-timers.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Unemployment rate in the hockey world is down today. We had several significant hirings as vacancies were filled on a couple of coaching fronts. So let's start with the Philadelphia Flyers, and this just feels right. Rick Tocchet, former captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, number 22, he's in their Ring of Honor, will now coach the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously like it for Philadelphia. I like it for Rick Tocchet. I think he's a really, really good coach. He's really smart, knows what he's doing, prepares really well. And you know, when you are able to go into a scenario where you've got a player that knows what it means to be a Flyer on the ice and is one of the best coaches in the game right now, it should pay dividends for Philadelphia, a young team that's learning to win, that's learning to take the next step. I like this hire a lot.
I don't know whether they're ready yet, though. But Tocchet has coached teams in various stages of their rebuild. Tampa Bay wasn't a very good team when he first coached in the National Hockey League. He was in Arizona, and we all know that constant state of chaos. So having a plan, working for his buddy, and just an unbelievable guy in Keith Jones, I think that's going to make it easier too. The job that he left, that he resigned from, was also filled today as Tocchet's former assistant coach was promoted. Adam Foote takes over, and that's his first National Hockey League head coaching job.
Yeah, the take that I have on this is that you have a guy in Adam Foote who has been around the room for a little while, and I think that that's important with all the change and all the flux that has happened for the Vancouver Canucks organization over the last year. I do think having some familiarity with the guy that's taking over, that's going to be behind the bench as the guy, is important. And it might just provide a little bit of stability for the players that are returning and moving forward.
He's a good buddy of my longtime producer at Sportsnet.
Oh, yeah?
And he's a cool dude. I like Futter. It's his first head coaching job in the National Hockey League or professional hockey. He's got 2 years of experience running the Kelowna Rockets of the Western Hockey League. So there's going to be some learning on the fly there with Adam Foote, but wonderful defenseman.
An absolute unit when he played.
He was. Ken Holland is back in the National Hockey League. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of talk about Ken taking over the New York Islanders. Mm-hmm. But when L.A. made its change, moving on from Rob Blake, Ken Holland quickly jumped into the picture and leading Canada to roll with the Kings, and they made it official today as Ken Holland, formerly of the Detroit Red Wings and the Edmonton Oilers, mm-hmm. is now running the Los Angeles Kings, which I think is fitting because he was part of those Oilers teams that played L.A. like
yep.
3 years in a row.
Yep.
So if anybody knows the L.A. Kings, it's going to be the guy that met them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you can't beat the Oilers 4 years in a row, the best way to go about doing it a fifth year in a row is to hire the guy that helped build them as they're currently constructed. So we'll see how it goes, but there's not going to be many more motivated than Ken Holland to beat the Oilers beyond the entire Kings organization.
We also have a one game that's underway in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, and our playoff update is brought to you by Centennial Subaru, US 95 and Ann Road. Be the boss mm-hmm. at Centennial Subaru. Be the boss.
I will do my best to be the boss, but it is 2-0 Florida right now in the second period. I don't know who scored the goal because my media site is not uploading, but the Panthers had a goal in the first period and a goal in the second period. It is 2-0 Florida in the second.
Aaron Ekblad and Dmitry Kulikov
scored. There you go.
For the Florida Panthers. Now, Toronto tried to flex its muscle. Toronto flexed its muscle. They didn't try. They got in the grill of the Florida Panthers mm-hmm. in Game 4. We wondered whether that would be met with
not a good idea.
A response from Florida, or whether you're much like what the Panthers tried with Vegas two mm-hmm. years ago.
Yep.
Like you stand up to the bully, but sometimes the bully will win. I'm not calling Vegas bullies back
no, I
then,
get
but,
it.
But you school year, and sometimes you're just not in that position to actually win the scrap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it feels like with Toronto right now. They stood up to the bigger guy.
Yep.
And it's not going to work.
They got their one punch in, yeah. And now it's the Florida Panthers that are pummeling the Toronto Maple Leafs. 14-6 the shots in the first period in favor of Florida, and 19-11 for the game.
That would be three straight wins by the Florida Panthers after dropping the opening two games.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Tomorrow in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you've got the Stars against the Jets. That's an elimination game, but the Stars on the brink moving on. And the Capitals will try to stay alive against the Carolina Hurricanes. Wonder if there'll be any changes there for the Capitals. Oh, we'll see. Tonight, Vegas attempts to extend its season. I do believe that tonight is, there's a vibe I get, that tonight's just about winning the hockey game. It's not about extending the season.
Uh-huh.
It's about just winning the hockey game and giving yourself another chance. Nobody's thinking in there, we got this comeback in order.
Well, I don't think that's how you come back in a series. I think you focus on one game, you go out there, you get to win, you focus on the next game, and all of a sudden you're on a roll. But the only way to do that is to go out there and win this game tonight.
But a lot less to worry about if you're just focused on your game.
Well, it's the only thing you have. It's the only guarantee the Golden Knights have is this game tonight.
Yeah, there's teams that do get distracted. I think that's a long road to the clock.
Well, I don't think the Golden Knights are that team.
I don't think that this team's the same. A pregame show is coming up with Ryan Wallace. Stay tuned to Fox Sports Las Vegas.